Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for joining us for the show today as we take a look at great stories about creating and just wonderful folks. And I'm so excited to be able to be here today. I hope we'll be able to tune our imaginations together. I am talking about music today, and you know, sometimes I've heard people call Northfield Music Town. I think, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, we had something happening every night. And, you know, the pandemics, we're kind of getting our groove back. And it's kind of exciting to think about that. And, you know, I think we need more music. That's all I need to say is just there needs to be more music. And so I think I'm going to try, let's see if I can do this, and pick out a little opening song to just start with music. I don't have a lot more to say. I'm going to let the band speak today. This is the Newbury's Victorian Cornet Band. And I'm going to, oh, this is interesting. It's a different, I'm looking at the screen here. So maybe we'll go ahead and as I try to figure out the one that I wanted to play of theirs, let's see if we can go back. I picked a different one. Here we go. This is the one I picked. And we'll see if we can bring that up because, you know, I think that music returns us to our center. And it's been my experience, especially with live music, when that chaos of life gets, you know, gets into you. And the thing that I like to turn to is, in fact, the live music. And so I love going to a place where there's a concert and there are other people who are also enjoying live music. And I get to be together with them. As soon as the sound fills the room, I feel the calm return. And I kind of allow my mind to wander and take a ride through the pictures the music creates in my mind. I live in those notes and travel with the musicians through the world of musical stories. And it's really just, it's incredible. I love what it does and how it makes me feel. That wave of a musical experience is such a good feeling. And I hope that's what happens for you. It can take hold and it can make a difference. So this, the one that I'm going to play is by the again, the Newbury Victorian Cornet Band. This is their album, Thomas Coates, the Father of Band Music in America. And I'm not sure I know how to say this one. It is Bonte and Avant Quickstep. Boy, I'm sure I didn't get that right. But it is a really lovely tune. I thought it felt like a really good invitation to come to Northfield, and we're going to be talking about the Vintage Band Festival, so this will make sense. So here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of the Thomas Coates, the Father of Band Music in America. That's their album from Newbury's Victorian Cornet Band. Thank you. was pretty great. I think it's so fun. You can't help it when you listen to that music that you just kind of, something's got to move and you just want to just see, hear what's next. It's a really fun style of music. And I absolutely believe that music is what makes the world go around. And this upcoming week, we're going to get you ready here on Art Zany Radio as Northfield becomes sort of the place that we test the tilt of the world's access as we lean our ears into music. All the lovers of music come to our town and listen to the sounds of brass throughout the landscape and fill all the spaces in our community with those calls of the horns. It's really going to be spectacular, and I can't wait. So consider that your official invitation to the delightful music journey of the Vintage Band Festival. And I'm going to turn on my mics and welcome our guest in studio today. We're going to help us explore a little bit about the Vintage Band Festival. Joining me today is Joy Riggs and Randy Ferguson. They are both on the board at the Vintage Band Festival. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paula.
Yeah, this is really fun. I know you've been preparing this for years, right?
Yes.
It does take some planning.
We met through the plague.
Exactly. And I want folks to know that those official dates are Thursday, the 28th of July, and Sunday through the whole weekend, through Sunday, the 31st of July. Here's an important resource for you. It is vintagebandfestival.org, because there's a lot. We are not going to get through everything today. So if there's more you want to read about the bands, you want to look at the schedule, you want to find out a little bit about the history of the Vintage Band Festival, that's the place to go. There are going to be, it's 4 days. There's 34 bands as of right now. It could be more. So we'll say 30 plus bands. And there's going to be over 60 concerts. So just kind of wrap your mind around that. It's a pretty exciting weekend here in Northfield. And that's going to start on Thursday. So we're going to do, this is fun this year. We're doing two Art Zany Radios because there's so much happening. This week, we're going to kind of preview the festival, talk a little bit about the history, tell some stories. And next week, we're going to have some of the members of one of the bands into the studio. And I think it actually might be the Newberry's yes. Victorian Cornet Band. So that's really going to be fun. They're from out east, I believe.
Yes.
Massachusetts? Did I get that wrong?
They're East Coast. I think a lot of them come from all over. And
okay.
then they meet here and they practice. And then they like, they're such professionals that they just kind of, they can put on a show pretty quickly, but
they're leaders from Florida.
That's where I saw
several,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Several of the players, but from all the way up to New York.
So what a great thrill that they'll be here. So folks, you will be hearing music in our town definitely next weekend. So I'd love for each of you to introduce yourselves to our listeners a little bit about what you do and a little about your connections to the Vintage Band Festival. They're debating as I talk who's going to be first, so I'm not going to get in the middle of that. You two decide.
All right, I'll go.
Okay, thank you,
Thanks, Randy.
Yes, Randy Ferguson, and I got involved in the first festival in 2006. Paul Nimisto, the now artistic director, grabbed me and said, I think you'd like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was the first one and absolutely magical. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think any of us knew what to expect that year. And then it just kind of came to town. It was like, wow, what is this amazing thing?
Either did the people that planned it.
A great success.
It was wonderful, yes. And ever since, we've been, I think this is the sixth multi-day one and festival. And we've had four. We decided to go annual. Then, in between the years, in between the 4 day, we did a 1 day, which we managed to work in last year.
Yes, I do remember that one. That was a lot of fun too. And so, you're right. The 4 day festival only happens every 3 years,
right?
Because it takes even that long to get it planned. But you should tell everybody. I think it's interesting. You are, I'm going to say, virtuoso guitarist, and not just guitar. You have a range of string instruments that you play. So how does a guy who loves string instruments get involved in sort of a brass band festival?
Oh, I love, I have a lot of the instruments I have are antiques. You know, the oldest guitar I have is from 1785 and 1830, 1850. But that goes for all instruments. You know, these are just phenomenal. The Civil War groups that we have coming, all of their instruments are from the Civil War. And actually, with the different bands we have, it pretty much goes through the whole evolution of brass instruments. And absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite ones.
So you just love music.
Oh, yeah. And Saturday at noon will be Battle of the Bands. We'll have at the Cannon River two Confederate bands on one side of the river, two Union bands on the other side. And they play back and forth and cheer for each other, and it's just wonderful.
Yeah, a lot of good fun. That's a good capstone event. And so I'm just thrilled you're here, and they're lucky to have you as a part of the Vintage Band Festival. And Joy Riggs is here as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I missed the first festival in 2006. We were out of town. But that was around the time I started researching about my great-grandfather, who was a band leader and was working on a book, which came out in 2019. So Paul, I approached him about some questions about bands, and so he roped me in, as he does, which was great. And so the 2010 festival was the first one that I participated in, and ever since I've just been hooked, because it's just such a fabulous group of people, and then promoting Northfield, and I love music, and it just... It's become part of my life now, so.
We should give a shout out. Your book is Cracker Jack Bands and Hometown Boosters, The Story of a Minnesota Music Man, and that was published in 2019. Your grandfather, tell us just a couple little stories about, what prompted you to take on that task and what you've discovered.
So my dad was playing with the St. Cloud Municipal Band at that time in 2006. And so I was going to help him with a little bit of history. And as I dug into it, discovered that my great-grandfather was a very influential band leader from the turn of the century through World War II. And so all these bands that come to Northfield as part of the Vintage Band Festival, they play the music that his bands played. And so... I just love that whole connection. It all kind of came together. So in the book, I do, it kind of alternates chapters telling his story and telling my story about finding out about him. And so there is actually, the Vintage Band Festival comes up in the book. It comes up a couple times mentioning, things I'm learning about and connecting it to my own life. And I love the way you were talking about music at the beginning of the show, what music does for you, listening to live music. And so there's a moment in the book that was, I think, the 2013 festival. I could be wrong, but where I was in Bridge Square and Kenny Carr and the Tigers was playing, and he was trying to get people, these Minnesotans to stand up and yell and he was from the South, and so people kind of reluctantly at first stood up, and then by the end of it people were just into the music. The sun was setting over the Cannon River. People just felt like you loved everybody. Things life was great, and so that's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back. And
I think
on this
that
festival.
Was one of my favorite moments too. In fact, and I think he came back to town maybe for the next
he came twice.
And my kids were just so excited, and which was fun for me to see them be excited about. So they went and asked to have the CD autographed, and he couldn't been sweeter.
Oh.
And, that's okay. And it was just one of the, like you said, it was, you just felt like nothing else was going on in the world but this joyful place. And there's so much of that happens with these concerts, and it's very family friendly. I think I really appreciate that.
The 1967 Summer of Love revisited with brass instruments.
Why not? It could happen. It absolutely could happen. So I'm so delighted you're both here. And, the Vintage Band Festival, as you mentioned, this planning takes a long time. And, tell me what it takes to kind of bring this, I call it a brass invasion to life. And you probably, as soon as one's over, you're working on turning around for the next one.
Yeah, we have a core group of people who are involved year-round and have kind of different duties they take on. I'm the secretary of the board and also the grants coordinator. And so money, of course, is important. We need money to put on the festival. And so we got a Minnesota State Arts Board grant this year, which was hugely helpful, and a CMAC, a Southeastern Minnesota Arts Council grant. Business support has been great. And then just individual donors, the Wenger family out of Owatonna. People, we've been around long enough, people know, you know, what we do. And so it's a lot easier now to explain, we're doing the festival. Can you, you know, give us some money? You know, a lot of the money goes to pay for the big bands.
Yeah, and people need to know that too, I think, that it's not just, you know, not everybody is here. There is some costs associated with putting on this experience.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Yes.
And that's an important part, if that, that takes time to coordinate. You probably have to get on the schedules of some of these performance groups, long book them,
right,
as you
yeah,
say.
Definitely. And, of course, COVID has made things a little more challenging in planning. But people seem so ready to come. Like, people want to come. The bands want to come. People, you know, have been contacting us, like, you're going to do the festival again, right? So the enthusiasm is there. It's just kind of doing all the logistics of making sure we have things set up so it'll all run.
Right, exactly. So what's the board doing during these in-between years to facilitate making this happen, in addition to the, you know, money and the coordinating bands and
running around to wherever we're needed? Something doesn't work, we go fix. But yeah, it, and for the most part, we'll be, like I said, going around. There's a there'll be a tent, our vent, the festival tent, and where you too can make a donation. And for $25, you may have one of these beautiful red pins
that you can't see on the radio.
Isn't the camera's not on?
No, it's not. There's not a camera. It's all just us.
But it's, you know, it always comes back to the word wonderful and everything. And joy, as a lot of this would be much more difficult without her. She's phenomenal on, a writer, and just the program itself. You have how many hours? Do you have any idea?
The program is coming out, I think, Monday, and the folks at By All Means are hugely, hugely helpful to us in many ways. But Ronica and Dan and I spent, I don't know how many hours.
You want to count.
Yeah, and if you see something in there that's not right, don't tell me. I don't want to know. But I think it's all pretty much. So, yeah, you can pick up a program next week, and by all means, we'll have them around town. It'll be online. You know, map out your idea of what you want to see, where you want to go. I think we already said most concerts are in Bridge Square, but we also have 2 days of concerts in Central Park, and then the satellite concerts on Thursday night in a couple of the towns surrounding here.
Yeah, so folks, this is Art Zany Radio. We're talking about the Vintage Band Festival, if you missed the opening of the show, and that happens next week, starting on Thursday, the 28th of July, through Sunday, the 31st of July. This is the 2022 Vintage Band Festival. This is the big one, 4 days, 30-plus bands, and 60-plus concerts. So it's a big thing, and having that program is probably a really good guide, right, to
it
not
is.
Only understanding, I think, what I enjoy, at least in past, you know, that sort of the stories of the band.
Right.
So
there's
you can learn.
Band bios in there, so you can figure out. And some bands are returning, so if you've been to the festival before, you'll recognize, oh, yeah, I love this band. I want to, like, Copper Street is a huge favorite in Northfield, and so they're playing one of the nights. So if you want to make sure you're not going to miss that, you know, look on the program. And then we have some new bands coming. I'm really excited about Thursday night. The Sulby Avenue Brass Band is performing with Thomasina Petras. Mm. And she does, she's a Twin Cities actor and jazz vocalist, and she's portrayed Billie Holiday before, like the Dakota.
Oh, you hear that and you think she must have a voice. That's...
Right, yeah. So Thursday night in Bridge Square, I'm excited about that. Friday night we have, we're calling it Latin Rhythm Night. We got a grant to support three Latino bands from the Twin Cities, so we're having them back to back, and two of them have performed before at the festival multiple times, but this other one has making their debut here, called Malamania. Mm-hmm. They are described as an Afro-Cuban
Latin
fusion. Sound.
I did and, see that on the website. Yeah, that looked really
they have a
fascinating.
Huge following in the Twin Cities. A lot of salsa dancers like to follow them. So, yeah, that'll be Friday night in Bridge Square. I'm excited about that too.
And they have Mariachi Mi Tierra, which is the oldest mariachi band in the Twin Cities. And they're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And Banda de la Banda de la Verdadera. And they're the one traditional brass Mexican. We're mixing with the different styles of guitars that they have in Mexico. And they're just wonderful. It's many of the different types of dances and songs that are played in Mexico. So all three of them are just phenomenal.
Yeah, so and that was Friday night, right?
That's Friday night.
And is that down at Bridge Square?
At Bridge
yes.
Square, that's right.
So there's a big stage set up, but folks should think about bringing lawn chairs or blankets.
Right. We do have cooperation with
50 North,
Age-Friendly Northfield. They have these chairs now.
Is that the Red Chair Project?
The Red Chair Project.
So I believe those chairs will be set up at Central Park. For people's convenience, so they don't need to haul chairs if, you know, it's harder for them to do that. But in Bridge Square, yeah, bring your own chair and bring a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
There's, yeah, places to perch.
Spend the day.
and that's something we should talk about because this is happening across multiple venues in town, at a couple different stages. You don't have to go buy tickets or have a wristband or
right.
have
no.
any sort
no.
of...
It's all free. It's not ticketed in any way. You can come and go as you please. We do, you know, love people to give us donations, but you're not required to buy tickets or pay anything.
And so if you are there and you're enjoying something, how is that? Sometimes it's happened where you've passed the tuba, I think it was one year.
Yes. it was jammed up with pennies.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Made a wonderful sound, though.
Exactly. So how are you doing that while the performances are going on, or if people are just enjoying it and kind of stumble into, like, wow, how do I support this? Because this is pretty great. Or, I would want to buy it. Ticket, but you know, how can I make a contribution to support the Vintage Band Festival?
At the festival tent, and there'll be we won't be grabbing people as they walk by, but you know, that's where we won't be passing the hat this year.
Okay,
however.
Encouraged.
They can come
yes.
up. They can give us cash. We've got a card reader. They can also go online and donate.
Right, probably right from your phone. It's vintagebandfestival.org. So
yes,
folks
that's right.
can. Check that out. You can donate in advance, or you can donate more
after.
You
can mail us a check afterward. We've got our address, all that, yeah.
So there's lots of ways to contribute, and I think that's really important, because probably that helps pay it forward right for the next one that's
right.
3 years
exactly.
down the road.
Yep. And as soon as this festival is done, we'll start working on next year's one day, and I think the date for that is in the program. Whatever that last Saturday in July is. But then also, yeah, we'll be planning the next multi-day event.
And with both of the venues, Central Park and Bridge Square, it's nice because just about all the bands will be playing multiple times at one venue or the other. So if you're figuring out you want to see the Victorian Newberry's Victorian Concert Band, but it's at the same time as Independent Silver Band or what? It'll work out.
That's why having that program is kind of a really important thing, because it does kind of give you that guide, and then you can, follyour way around the like you mentioned, there are the outdoor venues, but then also there are concerts happening in a couple of indoor venues.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
The library. Randy's put up a terrific display in the library of Vintage Band Festival, memorabilia,
stuff.
I guess. Stuff.
Stuff.
But there will be a concert in the library. There's a concert at 50 North. Then the churches, Sunday morning, several different churches are hosting bands, and that's all in the program as well. And the schedule's online, too.
And mm-hmm. several of the pubs around town on Saturday night will have a band also.
So yeah, and even there are sometimes spontaneous things that happen.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That has happened. Yeah, one of the years, I think we were at the Cow, and one of the groups came by and was just playing out in the kind of that alley there behind the Cow, and it was great.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what to... All these people have the instruments, and they're all extraordinarily talented musicians, and so you'd never know.
There are a few of them that are in multiple groups. Also, we have the above-average tuba quartet, and they
what a great title!
Oh yeah, and they're members of the Lake Wobegon band, and this originated as in 2006, very strong on British brass band tradition, and where they're basically a cornet band. Now, cornet like a trumpet, but if you open them both up, they're equal length, about eight feet, if you stretch them all out. And a cornet starts at the beginning and slowly gets larger and larger and larger until the bell flares out. And so it's called a conical bore, like a big ice cream cone.
Hmm.
A trumpet is straight all the way to the end, and it flares, and it's a cylindrical bore. The difference is a conical bore, the cornets have a very mellow sound. The sound waves go in, and they actually roll before they come out. Where a trumpet, they shoot straight through, so it's very piercing. So when
I don't think I ever knew that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's the tradition. You have the soprano ones, which were the cornet, as we know it now, trombone, which was with a conical bore, and then euphonium, which is a tuba with an extra... fingering an extra piston in there, and that's what they're now, the Lake Wobegon band and Sheldon Theater are both very large, 30 to 40 players, but they're the British band tradition. And it's a, like I said, to see, to have 30 35 of these instruments, the sound coming at you, it's volume, yes, but it's an extremely rich, thick, lush sound.
Mm-hmm. There is. There's so much. And we should talk about that, because when people hear vintage band, I don't know that everybody kind of like knows exactly what that means. Because it's not just a certain sound that is a part of. There's a whole range of sounds. So how do you describe it when somebody says, what's a vintage band?
Well, old is one thing. I have a t-shirt that I used to wear when I was teaching. It says vintage, and the kids would say, what does that mean? It's not just old, it means cool.
Oh,
and old and cool.
Old and cool.
Yes. So I guess you could say antique, but with the different types of traditions of music and the bands, like I said, the Civil War really kicked off brass band music in America.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you had the Professor Harold Hill from Music Man type bands in the gazebo in the park every Sunday afternoon. And it...
And Joy's great-great-grandpa.
Yes.
That's right.
By the way, that is a wonderful book that she wrote. If
thanks,
you're
Randy.
At all interested in Minnesota, especially band,
mm-hmm.
That also won another local writer, Susan Vistendahl, History of the St. Olaf Band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have books for sale at the tent. My book, Susan and Jeff Sauvé's book, and then Paul Niemisto also has a book about Finnish bands in Minnesota, right? Minnesota?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are three great things, just a reason to come up to the table, right, and
right.
ask questions.
And we'll have t-shirts. The color is red this year. They're great. We have some I think we'll have some CDs of some of the participating bands that we'll have for sale. And some of the bands bring their own kind of merch tables, and you can get their
yeah,
CDs.
Yeah, that's one
directly.
Way to support the bands and say thank you for them
yes.
coming
right.
and being a part of the, you know, that's an additional way for them to, you know, they don't have ticket sales. They have these opportunities. And I right. think that's a fun way to recreate the feeling as you know, if you leave, you like them to take it home, carry it home with you.
Right.
And I'm not sure if we mentioned, you can make a donation at that tent also.
Oh, yes, that is a great way to be able to say thank you. And this is, you know, if I were buying a ticket, this is how much I would spend. And here's a little extra to say, yes. We hope next time you are able to support this. And I think that's such an important thing, you know, just like the story of your great-great-grandfather and the, you know, history of band shells and band concerts and, you know, people getting together to listen to live music. It's like a summer tradition that not every town has it. This is a really unique festival.
There isn't anything like it in the world.
Think about that. Nowhere else in the world is this happening except for our town.
Now, Joy mentioned that many of the bands request, like, we'll have several of us say, yeah, put us down for next year for the one, you know, for the one day one. There are six that have been here at all of the multi-day festivals since the beginning. And
wow.
They were the Sheldon Theater Brass Band, Lake Wobegon Brass Band, Newberry's Victorian Cornet Band, the American Poyot, which was Paul's Finnish group. That means the American Boys,
mm-hmm.
by the way. And the First Brigade Band, which is probably the finest Civil War reenactment group. Their uniforms, the instruments are real, and they live it. They're just wonderful. Windworks, which is... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, okay. We want to get all those bands that have been participating every year.
The last group, Windworks, which is the only completely woodwind, their quintet woodwind group that we have. And they'll be at the 50 North and at the library.
Perfect. And I have pulled up some music from the First Brigade Band, so I think we should perhaps jump in on that. Anything you want to say about their style or... This is their album, Classics on the Battlefield, so that says a little bit about who they are.
Yes, in the Civil War, there were Abraham Lincoln thought it was extremely important to have brass bands. Live music was rare.
We have to take ourselves back.
Yeah, pre-radio, pre-everything. And maybe you heard live music in church, maybe not. But the bands on the battlefield served a purpose. They just gave the troops a false sense of security to hear these hymns, folk songs, quick steps, marches being played. But they also were the first nursing corps. Someone was wounded, they dragged them off the side. But the instruments they played, I should mention, every brigade had a brass band. And a lot of the regiments themselves, and a regiment was made up of, I believe it was 10 companies, a company of 40, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they have the instruments are pretty cool. They're called OTS, or over the shoulder.
Oh, yes.
Which means they're sax horns, and developed by a man named Adolphus Sax, who 30 years later became famous for putting a woodwind mouthpiece on a brass instrument, and they called it a saxophone. But the instruments go over the shoulder, and it's the troops are in front playing to the troops. The band is in front playing the troops behind.
And they play on those authentic instruments, right?
Right. They're not reproduction. They're the real thing. And they are, I mentioned conical bore. They're very difficult to play well. You can blow a little harder and go up almost a half step or not quite enough and down a half. So it's
hard to stay in tune.
They're phenomenal musicians.
One of the things I love about that band is they do such a good job of explaining the history. So if you attend their concert, they will kind of explain what Randy's saying, like how the instruments work, where the band, what the function was during the war. And they are a recreation of an actual regimental band from Wisconsin.
That's a really great thing. And the song I've picked out is Selections from Bohemian Girl. I just thought that was kind of it's another fun tune that I think is a great one to encourage you to, you know, join them in the fun and come to the Vintage Band Festival. So we'll play that here on Art Zany Radio. Again, this is the First Brigade Band.
Thank you.
Was the First Brigade Band. I just didn't know where to stop to see where was a good place to pause, because they just kept, you know, it was just full of vibrant music and some surprises. And really, I'm so glad you told us in the intro a little bit about their instruments and the, you know, kinds of, so you could try to visualize. And I was trying to put myself in the place of, you know, someone who, you know, would be a soldier in the Civil War, and how exciting that music must have been if they were not used to hearing live concerts. You know, they didn't have radios or stereos or record players. Maybe they had the old Victrolas, right? Not right.
But that was until the around 1900.
So it was before that.
Yes.
Like that must have been the most exciting thing. And I, wow.
And the First Brigade Band entered the war. Not until 1864, but they were involved in Sherman's March to the Sea. So it was pretty incredible, the history behind it. And some of the other groups, the Independent Silver Band from Illinois, their recreation of the Independent Silver Band in Illinois in 1880s. And Dodsworth Saxhorn, again, they're an over-the-shoulder saxhorns. Dodsworth Saxhorn Band, they were referred to as New York as America's premier brass band, and from the 1840s until the 1880s. So many of these are playing out of the original songbooks that the bands had.
Yeah, we're lucky that made it through, right? That those musical notes and musical scores were able to be saved so that we could, you know, hear that again.
Through either direct generation, family to family, or many of the historical societies, and actually diaries besides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so all that was original music as it was
done.
Mm-hmm. What exciting times! Again, the Vintage Band Festival, and we're just skimming the surface of those possibilities, because there's a lot to, as you mentioned, there are over 30 bands and over 60 concerts in that 4-day period. So.
Yes.
It's kind of a create your own experience opportunity, right? Because you can come and go, like you said. You are not required to, you know, have assigned seats, or concerts will be going on and people will be milling about. If you decide you're at the concert and they got a hankering for something, you know, you could get up and get yourself a sandwich or a drink and come back.
We could mention Saturday morning Riverwalk Market Fair will be going on, and they've been just a great supporter of ours and collaborator. And so you can come down on Saturday at 9 and, you know, get your Martha's scone, and you can listen to the New Prague Band. They're kicking it off. They've been here every year, I think, to play. They've come to a lot of the one days too. And then you can browse the tents with art and then just stay all morning. We will have Maria's Taco Hut as a food truck during the festival. And then otherwise, you know, just encourage people to go to the local restaurants and shops and, you know, take advantage of everything Northfield offers downtown. It's, you know, people who come here from out of town are always so complimentary of the downtown and enjoy, you know, just wandering around and seeing what Northfield is all about. So we also get a lot of support from the Chamber of Commerce, Convention and Visitors Bureau. You know, it's a great way to showcase Northfield. And some people, you know, come to visit friends here and come from all over the country because they know the festival is going on, and it's just a fun get together.
Right, and as you mentioned, the music is, you know, Bridge Square and then Central Park, so you can walk pretty easily between the two. Folks should consider that, right? So you can park once, walk the rest if you can.
Right,
that works out. It's a good way to experience everything.
And Joy had mentioned the New Prague Band. We have three community bands, the Lex Ham Community Band, Lexington Hamlin, St. Paul, New Prague Community Band, and Zumbrota Community Band. And so very similar to what we had in June with the local band put together for the Thursday night concerts, the Northfield Community Band.
Mm-hmm. The thing I love about those bands are just the intergenerational aspect. I mean, you've got, you know, high schoolers, you've got people retired and everything in between, and they're making music together and forming these relationships. And that's one of the great things that music ensembles do for us, is that community. One thing I wanted to mention while I'm thinking about it is we still could use volunteers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right. It does not happen without the help of many, many hands. So tell us what's available or how people would sign up to, you know, just maybe just take a quick shift just to...
Yeah, I think our main need right now is on Saturday. For whatever reason, we have shifts in the tent, so it really is pretty simple. You just come and hand out programs, answer some questions if people have about, you know, where's the bathroom and that kind of thing.
So if you know a little bit about Northfield, you'll be perfectly prepared.
Yeah, and then taking donations. And I don't know, Randy, what's the best way to?
I think there's a link, I believe, on the vintageband.org.
Right.
Vintagebandfestival.org. Yes. We want to send you there. Mm-hmm. They could use a few extra helping hands. So if you want to enjoy the music and then help out a little bit, you can do both.
It's fun. We had one person, I think, last year at the one day who showed up and then just stayed longer for her shift because she was having a good time.
That could happen, right? And it's fun to be able to help people who maybe don't know Northfield and, you know, where could I get a good sandwich or, you know, what's the best pizza place? I don't know if you want to ask that question, but there's a lot of good ones here. So that's a really important aspect of the Vintage Band Festival too, is that the people behind the scenes are all volunteers.
Right.
Yep. And the support of the community is what makes it happen.
Yes.
It makes a big difference. So, folks, we want you to do that. And let's see, you should maybe talk. Oh, I wanted to I was looking at the board of directors here. We have Paul Niemistu, who's the artistic director and the founder, of course, of this. Dan Bergeson, I want to give a special shout out to him.
Oh, my gosh. Dan, if you see Dan, please, like, thank him, applaud him. We could not do it without Dan.
Give him a hug.
Buy him a drink.
He'll need both by that time.
Yeah, he's done so much for the Vintage Band Festival. In fact, I found a little article he was found by the Northfield Shares Foundation as one of the volunteers in the community. They had a little campaign they did, which was really fun and to read. He does commit a whole lot of time to making this happen. And both of you are on the board, and Jan Stevens has been great.
Jan is a real go-getter with donations. She's
fundraising.
Yeah. Yep.
And I wanted to give a special shout out to Lois Stratmoen, who is your donor correspondent. And she is so well known in the community because she writes these amazing thank you letters.
Lois is amazing.
Yes.
And I see her walking and I'm always cheering for her. And I just think that her spirit is just incredible. And Noel, her husband, the two of them have done so much for this community. So.
Yes, they have.
That name caught my attention, and I thought, we got to give him a shout-out. And there's more people who behind the scenes, but that's just a few.
And with Lois, you know, it's so much nicer, more personal to receive a thank you letter, handwritten, than an email.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the money, you know.
And she's on top of it. We get a donation, and she turns that letter around. It's impressive.
And I will say, so there, you know, as someone who, you know, I want to donate to the local events and local things. It makes a difference, right? If you see somebody mm-hmm. who's, and, you know, next year I think that might be the first place I want to yeah. donate to. You think about it. And so we're lucky to have folks like that in our community. What will be a successful Vintage Band Festival weekend?
Well, the one thing we can't control is the weather.
That is true. And you pick the date and then...
Yeah, we just yes. cross our fingers. We do have rain locations for...
Yeah, people should know that.
So Bridge Square rain location is the middle school, and Central Park is the UCC, so the church that's right there.
So if people are looking and the concert's scheduled and you're like, uh-oh, it's raining... They'll know to go, and the program will direct them to those places should there be weather
yes.
situations. And, of course, mm-hmm. you'll be monitoring it, and
right.
you want to keep yeah. everybody safe. You don't want-
yeah, if we have to go inside, we'll have to make that call mm-hmm. early and yes. get word out. But there'll be, you know, info tent and online.
And with all of them, we've never been rained out. The first one in 2006, it hit 100 degrees.
I do remember that. It was this toasty festival.
And, uniforms.
Yes.
Civil War uniforms.
The Civil War, and they wore them. But we moved into pretty much every church in town,
mm-hmm.
and it pulled off beautifully. Mm-hmm. But that the Sunday, it went up even, it was just terrible. So.
That I do remember very specifically. Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, you can be flexible with that. And,
right.
Folks but should know that it goes on no matter what.
Bring water, bring hats, sunscreen.
SPF 50.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I suppose, too, there's also some guidance about, you know, we are still in the midst of a COVID world. And
right.
so folks should... You know, let's just make sure that, you know, you take precautions. I think there was a guidance that I printed out, and I'm not finding it.
Yeah, I think we just sent out to our email list of people, maybe on the Facebook page, too, kind of a notice about COVID and how to help yourself stay safe.
Right, exactly. We're currently, transmission levels in Northfield are rated low by the U.S. Center for Disease Control, but we would like to keep it that way, right?
So right.
follow the guidelines and, you know, stay up to date with your vaccines, get tested if you have symptoms, you know, wear a mask. If you're inside, that's, you know, and you're welcome to wear a mask anytime that you'd like. If you feel safer, we want everybody to have a good experience. And so you can check out the website, vintagebandfestival.org, for more of those details. But, you know, I think that's something we have to say now.
Right.
Yes.
We're also on Facebook, so you can like us on Facebook. And we do have a Twitter account, too, but it tends to only kind of rev up during a festival, especially if we have interns, and we don't have interns this year. So Facebook is a good go-to if you're looking for...
The most up-to-date information.
Yeah. You know, tying in with COVID, this is the first year we haven't had any international bands.
Mm.
Between that and the situation with air travel, they miss a connection. That's it. They're done for the weekend. So we didn't dare... schedule any, but next time.
Right, exactly. And
we have plenty.
And that's important for folks to know that there are 40 bands. No, I got that wrong. 34 bands, 60 concerts, 4 days. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And so I want to applaud both of you for all the work that I know you've done over the past 4 years to make this happen. And, you know, I hope that it helps people to discover, you know, that live music again. I think I was with a group of friends and they were talking about that, how that was really one of the things that they understood, that after we went through that experience of not having that, how much mm-hmm. it matters to, you know, be in an arena with people, to be, you know, in a space sharing that sound and having that back and forth with the musician and taking that little musical journey that, you know, I hope happens for everybody as you listen to music and have it wash over you, that, you know, it can transport you. It really makes life better.
It does.
And yeah. that's something we want people to experience. And to know, you know, I think one of the other things that I would imagine the VBF does is just, you know, helps remind people what it's like to live in a small town and kind of highlight all the great things about being a part of a community that can put something like this together.
Yes.
And both of you have been a big part of that. So thank you very much.
Well,
anything
it's our
else
pleasure.
We need to add? We'll be back next week on Artzany Radio as well, talking a little bit about more of the music. We'll have some of the musicians here. We'll never know what happens. It might be a little zany, but we'll be in the midst of the festival. So folks will have already had the Thursday night events, which you can find on the website, vintagebandfestival.org. They're happening here in Northfield, and there's a couple of satellite events happening as well that first night on Thursday. So you could visit, the communities Montgomery and Nearstrand, and what's the third location?
Farmington
and Cannon Falls.
So, those places also will have their own mini Vintage Band Festival experience.
Yes.
So, folks, thank you. Really, Randy Ferguson and Joy Riggs, I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for having us so much.
We had a great time, folks. I hope you'll join us for all the happenings here in Northfield. And, of course, I hope that you always remember to add a little art zany to your life. And, of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marty Barnes, second-generation owner of Barnes PRCA Rodeo. Come join us Friday, July 22nd, 7 p.m. in Faribault. The Rice County Fair's grandstand will be invaded by some of the nation's top rodeo horses and bulls and elite cowboys and cowgirls. Bareback, saddle bronc and bull riding, tie-down and team roping, steer wrestling and barrel racing will all be held. Tickets are available at the Rice County Fair office or $15 at the gate. Go to ricecountyfair.net for complete info. I look forward to seeing you Friday, July 22nd, 7 p.m. at the Rice County
Fair. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.
It's year two of the St. Paul Saints as the Twins AAA affiliate, but it's year 30 as your Triple F affiliate, fan-focused fun. So join us this summer for legitimate Twins big namers, hilarious ushertainers, fireworks nights, water balloon fights, smiling faces, dizzy races, famous guests, food truck fests, laser fastballs, epic pratfalls. Go to saintsbaseball.com and get your super affordable tickets now. Summer in St. Paul. Good vibes, great baseball, classic Saints. Side effects may include cheese curds, ice cold beer, and lifelong family memories.